Morning, please be seated. First case is State versus DDH, and I assume the parties are ready.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jared Steed appearing on behalf of the appellant DDH. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Okay.
Your Honors, DDH did not willfully violate his community supervision on February 22nd because by its express terms, that community supervision ended on February 19th. He was not provided notice of any tolling before the community supervision period ended.
Why does he need notice of tolling?
Well,
the one case that is on point about notice, or Campbell, that starts, it says extending, and it dealt with changing the term from 5 to 10 years.
It did, Your Honor.
That actually increased the time to be served, but if told days don't count, how can it be an increase in the length of the term?
Well, notice is important in this context, Your Honor.
If there's a change of term. How is it a change of term?
But it's a change of term in the sense that he doesn't know there is a change of term in this case. No one's told him that this time that he's been on bench warrant status is time that extends it beyond this February 19th date.
What's magic about being given notice prior to a certain time? Obviously, notice is required under due process. But what case requires notice to be given prior to the expiration of the normally scheduled time?
Well, Your Honor, there are two responses to that. The first is the statute at question here specifically says that there has to be a willful violation of a community supervision period. And if the client, in this case DDH, doesn't know that he needs to show up beyond a set date in the disposition order, he's not willfully violating that community supervision. But secondly, the case law here is very clear under Campbell and under the statute, which says that a juvenile is entitled to the same due process of law as an adult probationer. Notice needs to be provided about any changes in the term of the community supervision.
Let's look at Marquette, which is a Supreme Court case that this court followed. And when you read Marquette closely, it appears, several things appear, one of which is that at the end of the normally scheduled time, the two-year period there, Marquette was not then on warrant status. The warrant had been served, and I assume the person was in custody. So, and the other thing is that the court talked about specific time periods when there was, in fact, tolling that led to the conclusion at the end that the court still had jurisdiction. So my first question is, why is it necessary, under your theory, for warrant status to exist at the time that the term would ordinarily expire?
Well, Your Honor, if I understand your question correctly, my response to that is that warrant status is not necessarily the issue here. That's just one mechanism by which the court retains jurisdiction over the person when that community supervision period ends. Okay, I agree that in Marquette he wasn't on warrant status, but the court had a mechanism in place in that case to retain jurisdiction. And specifically, in that case, the show cause hearing was set for November of 97, which was still within the two-year probationary period, but continued until April 15th of 98. There was no dispute that that was within the time period of the original probationary period. And at the time that the court reinstated the suspended sentence in that case, it set another show cause hearing for July of 98. So by that mechanism, the court had, before the original probation period ended, put the client on notice that this case was being continued and that the court, in so doing, had retained jurisdiction over that particular case. Here we have nothing. I mean, there's no dispute by the state that the client is not on warrant status. He's not out avoiding a warrant when this community supervision period ends. There's no future court hearings that are scheduled. There's no discussion of any toll time. I mean, for all my client knows, on February 19, 2015, based on the express terms of the dispositional order, he's done.
You would agree that he was aware that he was out of not complying with the terms of his probationary period for certain periods of time.
I would agree that before the period in question here, the violation that allegedly occurred on February 22nd, certainly he would have known that he wasn't complying with the terms. But again, I want to make clear that that isn't enough to give him notice that he needs to show up after the date that the disposition order says the community supervision period ends.
But my point is, he was on warrant status during several periods of time prior to the normal expiration of the term.
He was. Agreed, Your Honor. Okay. Yes. But
didn't the parties agree in Marquette that 5 months needed to be added?
I think that's a very important point, Your Honor. Yes. In Marquette, there was no dispute by defense counsel, and the court took significant notice of that fact. I mean, they noted in the opinion that significantly defense counsel did not object to the prosecutor's, toll time calculation of 5 months. So what you see in each one of these cases, in Marquette, in VJ, there is a mechanism in place at the time that the supervision period ends on its express terms to extend jurisdiction.
And if you weren't arguing here that it had expired, you didn't have a disagreement with the number of days that were added as representing actual warrant status, did you?
No, Your Honor. We're not necessarily challenging the calculation of the 122 days, I believe it was.
What do you do with the statement in VJ that says when someone's on community supervision for a year, the state is entitled to a full year of supervision, and when they're on warrant status, the court is entitled to recognize the tolling of the days on warrant status? You can't square that with suggesting that they go away, can you?
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I think we can. I mean, what's happened in this case is easily avoidable in future cases, okay? There's nothing in the case law or the statute which says that this rehabilitation goal of community supervision somehow trumps the bright-line rule that may set forth regarding juvenile court jurisdiction. There's nothing to suggest that that's the case. And what's happened here is easily remedied moving forward. Either notice to the client that time's going to be tolled, or a warrant at the time that the community supervision ends, or some mechanism by which the court can retain jurisdiction after that community supervision period ends. Here there was none of that.
You have your 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, Philip Burai representing the state of Washington. This case is about making up supervision time in a juvenile case. And the other day, my daughter turned 18. I went to her physics class as part of the Get Acquainted with Their Teachers. And the physics teacher said that there's a basic rule in my class. If you miss one of my classes, you got to make up the time. If you don't make up the time, you don't get the credit. That's in essence what this case is about.
I assume your daughter got notice at the beginning of the school session that that was the case.
Sure. Okay. Just like in VJ, this court made clear that if, as a juvenile, you're on warrant status, that time is tolled from the year supervision period or whatever the supervision period that the juvenile has.
I guess the question here is, what's the scope of being on warrant status, and what does that do in terms of this case?
Well,
the VJ court had facts where at the time of the normal expiration of the term, the juvenile was then on warrant status. And I take it that's part of the argument that is being made here. When I read Marquette, under the facts of that case, the juvenile or the person was not then on warrant status. And the court seemed to be of the view that warrant status meant during the period, any time that you were on warrant status, that was in fact tolling, because they did the numbers, math class, if you will. So my question is, what do we do with that term, being on warrant status under these facts?
Well, and let's get to the granular level of what this actually means. Every kid who's under supervision has a requirement to check in with the supervising officer. When the child doesn't check in, then the supervising officer can note up a hearing. If the child doesn't show up at the hearing, then a bench warrant issues. Right? So that's the chain of events that lead to this. The problem
So what time actually counts for tolling this?
The time from
the time the person first didn't show up?
No.
Or only from the time the warrant is issued?
Only from the time the warrant is issued.
And why would that be?
Because what we're looking at is we want to make sure that the only time that's tolled is time where the juvenile should have been there in court but wasn't.
So is this some rule that each court can decide on, or is this some statute or something that says you only do it by the warrant, you don't do it from the time the kid failed to appear? Or
if State v. DDH is a published opinion, that's where we're getting, I think that's where this court instructs trial courts on how to do this. But well, there's a
statute for adults that says any term of community custody shall be tolled by any period during which time the offender has absented himself or herself from supervision. Why are adults entitled to specific notice of that, but apparently juveniles are not?
And two answers to that question. The first, this court in VJ expressly said the fact that for misdemeanors, adult misdemeanors, there's a statute doesn't take away from the tolling idea that is inherent within the supervised period. But I think the second point on notice is there are two types of notice at issue here. The first is, did the juvenile have notice that he was on warrant status and that he failed to check in with the supervising officer? Absolutely. Before the court can toll any time, the court has to actually find that the child didn't check in with the supervising officer. So you have the kind of the underlying violation that would lead to the tolling. You then have the issue of at what point does a juvenile need to know that we're going to add time on to the calendar time in the supervisory period. My argument is, in both Marquette and in VJ, that tolling is automatic, that there is no due process requirement that the tolling occur for exactly the reason that Judge Applewick was talking about. Here what we're talking is having a full year of supervision. We're not extending anything. We're not modifying anything. We're instead hitting the clock when the juvenile is not subject to supervision. That time doesn't count. He's not in class.
Is there any point in time that the court explains that to the juvenile?
I'm sorry.
Is there any point in time that the court explains that?
Yes, and that's the second part of my argument. The court has to, before the supervision period with tolling, before that period expires, has to have a hearing to say, we're going to hold you accountable. You need to do a full year. As long as the court did that, and here the court did that on February 24th.
After the time expired?
No, after, before.
Didn't it expire on the 19th?
The clock 1 year calendar time expired, but that goes back to, is tolling automatic? If tolling is automatic, the clock stops.
So you can give notice after the fact that this time has been tolled. The juvenile's not entitled to notice before the time would have expired, that there's some tolling in effect?
Because this is an automatic consequence of not checking in.
Why is it automatic for juveniles and not automatic for adults?
It is automatic for adults, too. When you look at
statute, for
when you, well, in Marquette, the court expressly said, this is the statute does not apply retroactively. So they were ruling on the same legal landscape that we're looking at here. The statute was irrelevant to the Marquette decision. And what the court said in Marquette is, it is a fundamental part of calculating a supervision period, whether it's probation or here juvenile supervision, that 1 year means 1 year. You have to be in class. If you skip class, you do not get credit for the time, period. And that exists without notice. That's the rule of the game.
I think everybody would say that notice, not only that you have to report is important, but notice of the consequences of failure to report is important. And certainly best practices to advise, and the order here says there was no advising at the time that he was in for sanctions under warrant status, that tolling had been triggered and that the 1 year was tolled. And I guess the question is the level of notice. It's one thing to say you have to report and there'll be consequences. It's another to explain what those consequences are.
Certainly.
The record here doesn't show that he was told tolling will extend. You agree with that?
I agree with that. Absolutely. And this case presents squarely this issue of when you have a child who is not complying with supervision, what does the juvenile court have to do in order to have that told time at the end of the supervision period? In our case, what the court did was hold a hearing before the told time expired to say, we're going to hold you accountable for the time you weren't under supervision.
Is there a case that you rely on for that proposition? If so,
VJ is the closest we've got. And the issue with VJ is the juvenile was absent at the point where you could hold a hearing before the order time, disposition order, expired.
So he wasn't on warrant status?
No, no.
But he was out of compliance?
But he was out of compliance. And again, February 19th was when the disposition order term ended. February 24th was when you had the hearing saying, we're going to hold you accountable for the additional 122 days.
The court recognizes that being on warrant status extends it. Does being on warrant status itself provide the notice that you're being told?
I think so, for exactly the same reasons as the physics teacher. If you're not in class, you don't get credit. If you are not checking in with your supervising officer, you are not under supervision.
But if we reject that idea that the earlier warrant statuses did not give him notice of tolling,
then you have to...
Then does his... If it had been his first time on warrant status and he started that 2 days before the calendar year expired, would it give him notice?
I'm sorry, I missed that question. If the court has to give notice before, then the court has to... I think you have to answer why. What is it that entitles the juvenile to notice of the tolling when in other circumstances it's an automatic part of violating a supervisory order?
Is there some burden on the court to say when the juvenile comes in and you quash the warrant and say, you've been out on warrant status for 60 days, I'm adding 60 days, your probation now expires in such and such a
and
time?
Certainly, you know, a judge can do that. A judge can do that. But what I was thinking about is, why would you allow a court just to wait until the very end to do it? And I think it comes down to looking at the totality of the circumstances to decide. We've got 122 days here. Are you going to say, all right, I'll knock off 60, I'll require all the 122? I mean, if you say it's told each month.
It troubles me that nobody has calculated those days. So when the juvenile shows up, I mean, nobody really knows. Nobody's actually decided when his probation ends. It's just sort of this vague concept that there's some days out there, and at some point your probation is going to end, and we'll figure it out later. That's troubling to me.
Understood. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Let me try my last question again.
Sure.
If warrant status itself doesn't give notice of tolling, and that the fact that, and therefore, community supervision can't be extended as a general rule, and here where it's happened throughout the period. What if the circumstance was his first failure to report was late in the term, and he just goes on warrant status a couple days before it expires, and he stays on it until it expires? Wouldn't you have the same argument? No notice.
Not necessarily, Your Honor.
Well, there's still no notice, is there?
Well,
what would be notice?
Your Honor, our first contention here is that simply being on warrant status is not sufficient to provide that notice. Secondly, under your hypothetical...
Well, then why would it provide notice earlier in the term of community supervision?
Because the court would explicitly tell the client as such.
Well, that's not warrant status. That's the penalty.
Well, that's putting the client on notice that the warrant status has resulted in told time. Right. But I do want to answer the question you've asked about the warrant status occurring at the end of a term. And that's happened in these cases that we've cited in the briefing. There, the warrant is pending, and the warrant has been issued before the actual community supervision period has expired, which means that when the client is obtained and brought into court, the court still has jurisdiction to enforce that warrant, to notify the client that, hey, you were on warrant status here, and so we're going to toll your time by X number of days. Now,
and he's told when he's brought in.
He's told when he's brought in, but the court still has jurisdiction to even tell him that, which is not what occurred here. Because
But your point in this whole case is that the court lost jurisdiction because he lacked notice.
I think those are two different issues, Your Honor. One is that there was no proper notice given, and two, that the tolling is not self-executing for purposes of extending jurisdiction. But with respect to notice here, you know, the tolling is not discussed until this February 24th hearing. And the allegation which brings the client, PDH, into court for this hearing doesn't occur until February 22nd. That's 3 days after the express terms of his dispositional order ends. He has no reason to believe he needs to even continue reporting to his probation counselor on February 22nd because no one said, hey, your community supervision isn't actually over. You need to keep showing up because we're tolling your time.
I thought the supervisor contacted him.
There's nothing in the supervisor contacted him on the 22nd, I believe. I don't recall anything in the record which says that he somehow received notice that he needs to keep showing up. So, you know, in any event, the court hasn't put him on notice that a certain number of days has been calculated to extend his jurisdiction. And that's an important point because the court is the one who's going to be entering the order to extend the jurisdiction. The probation officer has no authority to do that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel.